Excellent stuff. Okay, moving on. It's Outside Broadcasting Channel 1 for Hospedia. We have in the studio the Discover Middlesbrough team of Rob Nichols and, of course, Tracy Hyman and, of course, Reverend Marie Edwards, who's not... I mean, Marie, obviously we found Discover Middlesbrough. Well, we know where it sort of is, but there's much more to Middlesbrough than that, as I'm sure we're going to find out now. Because
yes.
were you aware of the Discover Middlesbrough campaign, first and foremost?
I wasn't.
Right. Well, here we are, Rob. It's time to actually just spread those words in terms of some of the things. I'll pass over the brochure to Marie. She can peruse through the whole sort of system, and then we can find out how this thing, which is really a celebration of the great things in the borough, is all about. And you're coordinating it. So what's it? What sort of things can we look forward to as it manifests in October?
Yeah, this is something that's been going for several years, and it started with sort of humble roots of opening a few heritage buildings and doing a few guided walks, and has sort of built up over the years to the stage where we've got a 2-week programme where we're sort of asking people to have a look around their own town and inviting them to explore some areas that they may not have been to before, and all sorts of stuff really, from like guided walks to runs to looking round a magical sort of mystery bus tour, and then there's a night and an afternoon where there's lots of different art things going on with open studios and talks at galleries. We wanted to try and get sort of break down a few barriers there as well, where people invite people into art galleries that don't normally go into art galleries, I think.
And there is so much good stuff that's actually around to that point. Tracy, you are our ace photographer, and it's good to have you back on the show. How are you, Tracy?
I'm fine, thank you.
Excellent. When Rob came up with the idea, you first heard about Discover Middlesbrough, because this is the second year it's been running, did you think, you're insane, Mr. Nichols? Just, you know, have you lost your marbles? What's going on here? What was your thought on this whole thing?
No, I was happy to be involved, but for me, I'm actually from Stockton, so
I was actually
discovering Middlesbrough a little bit more than Rob. Because he probably knew it already quite well.
We like to think he has some sort of awareness of what's going on there, basically. There's always something new to
But it's the second year for us, but it has been going for several years, actually. Mm-hmm. And it started from the Heritage Open weekends, which is a national thing, that where different towns right across the country, people open buildings that are often closed. And they might have started off being like castles and things like that, but then also all sorts of like industrial buildings and places that the public normally can't go to. And we sort of expanded beyond that, I hope.
Yeah, because that's still on September, isn't it? The Heritage Weekend. And the Discover Middlesbrough is a little bit more of a mix of old and contemporary.
We need to obviously make sure that the full title is there. Of course, Tracy is a joint coordinator of Discover Middlesbrough.
Yeah.
That's sorted through from that point of view.
So, yeah, I organise, Rob.
I'm not going to go into that particular issue at this particular stage, but there we are. Sponsored by Middlesbrough and Teesside Philanthropic Foundation, the North East Film Archive Middlesbrough on Film Take 2 screens on Thursday, October 16th. And again, looks at footage of Middlesbrough in bygone years. Of course, the infant Hercules was the Gladstone quote, which suggests how things are going. Victorian Milton Keynes, if you like, Victorian era city was coming through that. But there is that sort of sense of history. I mean, Marie, as someone who went to Ormsby Comprehensive,
I did.
Heartland in also so many ways, etc. Is this something which you think it's good to reflect on the positive sides of Middlesbrough as well, just see some of our heritage here?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's an amazing thing to do, really. Very often it's a case that you don't explore the area where you live. You tend to go out and about and see other areas and learn about them. So to have the opportunity to learn about your own hometown, you know, and done by people who know what they're talking about, it's exciting, really.
Was it last year we actually had a live Book of the Month sort of thing?
That's
right. Well, what other sort of areas are you sort of most looking forward to yourself, Rob, in terms of the events that we're seeing there?
Well, always the film show. I think this could be the last time we do one for a couple of years, but it lasts 90 minutes and two halves like a football match in the town hall, and it's a real sort of gathering of people the sort of films that are shown. There's many people in the audience that point and say, "I know that's me," and that, you know, or that's my friends. And it's all sorts of newly sort of conserved archive film and collected together of different events and people going to Seaside. There's also a quite sort of sad, poignant film of Martin Hall after it's been gutted by a fire, that there's a film of showing the workers taking it down bit by bit, which is it's the first time that's ever been shown in public. But
had to be transferred from filmed and onto digital, because of the sponsorship from, is it Mills from Teesside Philanthropic Foundation?
Yeah.
Like, we've managed to actually get new footage, and we've got a lot of new footage. It's all completely different to last year, and it was so popular last year as well.
It was about 450 people.
Yeah.
And somebody came from last year's film show and brought their own cine film that they'd found, and that's going to be shown this year, so it's quite interesting.
It is something which is quite... Sorry, Marie, yes.
No, I would just say that's excellent that people are getting involved and they've got their own memories and, you know, it reminds them of their childhood and the happier times and... Yeah,
well, hopefully the happy times are still there. I mean, Aitor Karanka's doing quite well. I mean, they had another victory over the thing. I mean,
we've got a tour of Riverside Stadium as well for a pound.
I just wondered whether there might be a sort of football element that comes into place within that.
I think you've got an event as well, haven't you?
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, I've got... football. Three football writers, Harry Pearson, John Nicholson and Daniel Gray. And they're all going to be... doing a talk in the library before Middlesbrough's home match against Watford on the Saturday the 25th. So looking forward to that. Never seen the three have never done an event between them before, so should be good.
It'll add up to a whole range of things, of course. So Marie, looking at the brochure and things like that, anything that sort of catches your eye and you think, well, we may not have any pets in the family and I don't watch any Gerry Anderson TV shows, but this is going to be good. This is going to be where the Edwards family will be checking out.
Well, you can take a walk between, you said Ormsby Comprehensive. There's a walk between Stewart Park and Ormsby Hall.
Oh, right, excellent.
So it's park to park walk.
Well, I was looking at the film one that you just mentioned there as well. I think that's quite exciting. But I'm also adding to my tally of things to be ashamed of, really. I've never been across the Transporter Bridge either.
No.
So I could...
Sorry, I had to say that.
Have a go, Like I say, I don't explore my own doorstep.
Well,
perhaps I
clearly.
Well, you only have to wait. It's. I think it's probably going to be maybe around Christmas time when the lift opens on the Transporter Bridge.
So at that point you'll
be able to go up to the top.
Oh, there's a top.
And they're going to put glass across, like they've just done at the Eiffel Tower. They've put on the first stage.
Listen, as I was just going to say,
like a glass floor to be able to walk across there.
Oh, I'll wait for that then.
The Transporter Bridge to Middlesbrough is the equivalent to the Eiffel Tower in Paris.
Yes.
You know, it's exactly the same. You know, fashion sense, everything else is locked into place with that. And this runs, of course, from October 16th to Saturday, November 1st. A whole heap of goodies with respect to that. I was quite astounded that actually, with those wonderful search engines called Google and such like, you can even sort of, you know, find exactly where your house is and all sorts of things in the whole system. So, I mean, that really gets down to a micro level in terms of finding things around Middlesbrough and various other bases and so on.
Street View
car
went past yesterday when I was walking in Middlesbrough.
exactly. But in terms of that, presumably there's a website that people can go to find out more. Is it lovemiddlesbrough.com, perchance, Rob?
Is it? It is, isn't it?
Well,
you can go to lovemiddlesbrough.com.
We've
got a Facebook page where we keep up to date and hopefully encourage people to post photos and through the 2 weeks.
Love Middlesbrough, they've got a page on all the events and there's a link to the electronic copy of the brochure, so anyone that can't pick up a physical copy
or doesn't want to worry about the trees, you can actually download the whole thing on their device.
But they go really quickly. We've had to replenish them in the libraries yesterday, so and obviously it hasn't started yet, has it?
It's always important to work through that. So it's walks, a whole collection of elements and pieces. Again, thanks to Middlesbrough Council, Middlesbrough College, and the Heritage Lottery Fund supported Transporter Bridge Visitor Experience Project. Just some of the products that will be there. I think we'll be covering a few other things as well as Discover Middlesbrough 2014 gets underway. Do you get any sort of negative views at all, Rob? Are people sort of saying, why should we discover Middlesbrough? It's already been there, such like?
Maybe Tracy from Stockton, do you hear any negative views in Stockton?
No, I mean, you know, if you're in Stockton, the tourist information place has brochures.
Oh, that's good.
As well.
Yeah, so, that pretty much says the whole thing.
Yeah, I think one of the only criticisms was that there wasn't enough brochures.
Yeah, and people in the past have said to me, I haven't done any Ayrton Park tours this year, but I did last year, and I got a few people saying, "What are you showing us around a housing estate for?" And then I said, "Let me show you, and I'll show you that there's a story beneath this housing estate
and an art trail."
And an art trail, that's right.
You might have thought they could have actually sort of sussed that out in terms of the description of the sort of Essen Park tour, that you actually say it's not over.
Yeah.
It used to be worth saying it.
Yeah.
Sometimes. Great stuff. Rob, fantastic to see that to develop. Obviously, Discover Middlesbrough 2014, the thing to actually go through. There will, of course, be all sorts of other exciting things that's doing in court in addition to the book of the month packages that you're doing as well. So great stuff there.
Yeah.
Marie, any final thoughts on Discover Middlesbrough?
Well, I think it's just very exciting, and if people have got the opportunity to go out and have a look around and learn more about where they live, then that's a great thing to do. I'll certainly be taking this book at home with me and having a look and seeing what we can go along and support. Yeah, looks very interesting.
Be duly commissioned as a roving reporter as well.
Yeah. Could do.
Okay, coming up, we'll be speaking to writer and producer Evgeny Grinev about his latest political novel, A Stink in the Tail. I'll say that again, A Stink in the Tail. I think Rob, Tracy and Marie will be able to stick around a little bit for that. But here's Bobby Darin.
Beyond the sea, somewhere waiting for so long, sailing, nobody's sailing. A goodbye, a farewell, my friend, no more sailing. So long, sailing, no more sailing.
England had never had a Prime Minister that made the people laugh so much. His jokes and witticisms have the nation in stitches. Parliament has become like a music hall stage where the PM entertains the House with his unique brand of humour. Humour that is often coarse and vulgar. What are we describing? Well, only the latest genius product from the writer extraordinaire Evgeny Grinev. Evgeny, good morning. Welcome to the programme. How are you?
Good morning, Alex. I'm very well, thanks.
Oh, it's delighted to connect with you, good stuff. After a gap of merely 18 years, so always good to sort of keep people on board, you see. There we are, Rob Nichols. Some people, they have to wait before with the thing curls, and then the magic actually works. I'll just do a quick introduction. In the studio, we've got Rob Nichols and Tracy Hyman, and, of course, Reverend Marie Edwards, all of whom are fascinated by the description of A Stink in the Tail, the latest fantastic text that you've actually almost produced, because it actually is released to the world the day before the Discover Middlesbrough Festival comes to the world on October the 16th. It's almost as though it was planned, Evgeny. You know, you launch A Stink in the Tail on the 15th and Discover Middlesbrough happens on the 16th. Fantastic.
Well, you know, these things are meant to try us, and there's always a timing for
everything. Always. Listen, you have created this. Graham Harper has defined this as one of the funniest books he's ever read. He's been privileged enough to have a look at some of the preview copies as well from that point of view. So you worked with Graham, obviously, with House of Elliot, I believe, and of course, Star Cops and so on. Share with us, Evgeny, what has possessed you to actually write this political weighty tome, which certainly sort of addresses the whole UKIP issue and more?
Well, many years ago, I've always felt that people were, they went on personalities rather than policies, and I wanted to create a character that was larger than life, that the people loved, and he every time he makes a speech, whether in the House of Commons, Question Time, is always full of jokes, but beneath that, he puts all forward his policies. And, you know, the opposition hate him because actually the public love him and he's still in power all the time. However, he has a deadly secret. And this secret, if ever it came out, would not only topple him, but the whole of the government. And the story is a comedy thriller about somebody discovers this secret and takes a hostage, and they feel that the terrorists taken a man, and the government wonder, well, how are we going to do it? We're going to have to get someone to get these documents back because we are in deep shit.
steady regular Evgeny, we need to just hold fire on that routine. I would say deep doo-doo. Let's just do a quick apology for that routine, etc. You know, we have to be very careful when we use the S word on broadcast radio. There we are. Stepping into that. But you're absolutely right. In terms of that, I mean, we've got a line here. When a trio of junior ministers' wives masquerading as terrorists managed to steal the most secret of government documents, taking an innocent hostage along the way, the Prime Minister, Chancellor and Home Secretary find themselves in deep doo-doo. I mean, is this kind of influenced by your background with your Russian background here in terms of what's going wrong, or is it just a case of your observational humour with respect to the British system, which sometimes seems as though we are all in deep doo-doo?
I think it's just the system. I don't think it's anything to do with my background at all, although in terms of sort of ridiculousness and comedy, that probably comes back from my... circus. My family were in the circus, and that, in fact, I got most of my education from the Dandy, the Beezer, and the Beano, and which was all comic cuts, really. And it's really, I think, just how politics is so ridiculous. And I've tried to just look at it in a way that, you know, will amuse us, but there's an element of truth about it, because when the government try and get these documents, they're going to go all out, you know, and kill, if necessary, innocent victims.
It certainly looks as though Telos Publications have actually got their hands on a winner here, and I can tell David Howe from Telos will be delighted to actually say this is a classic routine. Rob, would you like to just describe the cover that we actually see in terms of that whole sequence there? Because I think there we have the three crack commando junior ministers' wives.
Oh, is that with it? The wives in the helicopter?
Exactly.
With a Big Ben in the background.
Exactly.
Action-packed. But it's sort of farcical.
Action-packed, but farcical. Are those fair descriptors, Evgeny, in terms of the actual piece itself?
Oh, yes. It is fast-paced. And there are a lot of characters who are emerging together to change each other's lives. So everything is connected. And hopefully it's amusing. But at the same time, there is a dark element beneath it, because all these people are in danger, and something could, you know, happen to take them away to another world.
When Graham actually sort of mentioned the original brief thing, I must admit my mind did go back to some of the work of Tom Scharf, and I see on the general blurb it does address the notion of following in the long tradition of scatological British humour previously practised by authors such as Tom Scharf and Spike Milligan. A Stink in the Tail is a rip-roaring comedy thriller replete with intrigue, adventure and unexpected twists and turns. And flatulence, of course. Because, you know, that's obviously a key thing. I mean, you know, Rob, what will be a novel without a bit of flatulence?
Tom Sharp was Wilt, wasn't it? Is that right? I remember reading that. That was secondary modern school, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But obviously, when you're talking about politicians and secrets, we think of the expenses scandal and things that like that have gone on at the moment, and the sort of dark secrets that have been lurking.
There is, of course, the classic line, I'm sure Evgeny might have used it at times himself, really. How can you tell when a politician is lying? Their lips move. over to you, Evgeny. What were your influences on this particular piece? Is it a case of the political situation we see in the world today, or is it a case of, no, I've had this gently sort of simmering in my mind for a good few years, and lo and behold, now it has emerged?
Yes, I mean, basically, my mindset is very much I'm still a 13-year-old, and anything that mentions farting makes me laugh. And I just was wondering what would happen. Could things, you know, with a butterfly effect, or you throw a stone in the lake and there's ripples, what would happen if someone farted at the wrong time?
Disaster. You know, it's so embarrassing. You know, many's the time, Rob, isn't it? You know, you've been there at Middlesbrough Football Club and possibly there's been a slight sort of raspberry that's got... It just hasn't helped, has it, really?
No.
I'm thinking of a press conference here, but yes, yeah, it's an interesting concept that actually it's ultimately that sad boat about a flatulence. I mean, Marie, from your own perspective, obviously being full-time chaplain,
yes,
potentially could be hugely embarrassing.
It could. We have services where we have moments of quiet, and it's my biggest fear that something will emerge in those moments of quiet that shouldn't, really. Yes.
Yeah. There's a religious sequel waiting to be written to yes. this one, Evgeny, which, you know...
Not to come to one of the services.
You could. You'd be welcome to any of our services. Not to do anything necessarily in the quiet times, but yes, you'd be welcome.
Yeah, there we are. So, yes, influences, Evgeny, apart from flatulence.
Well, influences, yes. I mean, I was privileged to work on the TV series Blot on the Landscape, of which I had many amusing lunches with Tom Sharp himself, and I would never compare myself to him at all, because his writing was brilliant. Mine will never win any awards.
You can't say that, I'm sure. Or even as we speak, there are already sort of various people sort of getting the things together to actually put it forward.
I might win the Bad Sex Writing Award, because there is a lot of very bad sex in it.
Well, we might consider that for a book of the month, but, you know, who knows? It's a different line. I mean, well, are we looking at this being an ongoing series, or is it a case of at present you'll see how this initial novel is received, have you already got a grand plan of movie rights, multi-video games, and a whole range of other bits and pieces on A Stink in the Tail?
I don't think that there would be a sequel, although some of the characters could go on, but I do see it very much, and it's very much as either a feature film or a six-part TV series, because it would fit into that genre, because it's very fast-moving, and in the book itself there are not many adjectives.
And it's got flatulence. Well, what do we ask for? Marie, any questions for yourself to get you about A Stink in the Tail?
Well, I read a lot of my books on Kindle now, so is it something you can download on Kindle, or am I going to have to go out and buy a paper copy?
Yeah.
It is available now on Kindle at Amazon.
Brilliant.
There we are. It's genius stuff. Tracy, yeah. Does this appeal to yourself as a little light reading?
Yeah, sounds interesting.
Yeah. And Rob, do you think it might sort of pass that threshold of considerably being considered maybe for one of our books? Do you think Jenny Finch would actually go with it in terms of the Book of the Month scenario?
No, she's a difficult one, Jenny
she's
Finch.
Cool.
Yes.
She's a crime writer, of course.
Yes.
So she might take it very... So we'll put it by.
She would.
A Stink in the Tail, released, of course, the day before the Discover Middlesbrough programme launches. That's Wednesday, October 15th. That's when it's actually happening. We'll be speaking again about, obviously, the event and a whole heap of other goodies. I bet, Evgeny, you never thought in your wildest dreams you had actually been cross-branded here on a show which actually has taken us from Jamie Anderson, son of Jerry Anderson, oh, he's choking with emotion there, and his work on Terror Hawks and Hypermarionation and even more things, through to Discover Middlesbrough, through to A Stink in the Tail. But that's the kind of magic we bring to Ver. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today?
It's been great, thank you.
Excellent. We have been on speakerphone, by the way, in case you've wondered, why does it sound as though he's a disembodied voice? That's because, again, he's been on speakerphone. You know, so it's very good, though. It's kind of created a sort of sense of divinity and flatulence at the same time. But it has, I think... Well, I'm thinking of the next thought of the day that we actually put together, Marie. You know, we've done Harvest Festival. You know, maybe we need to do with the digestive things afterwards.
Yes, all the vegetables we've eaten, yes.
Please, don't get me started on sprouts. That's another sequel.
True.
So, Evgeny, will you return and keep us appraised of how things are going in the very near future?
I will do indeed.
A round of applause for Evgeny Grinder. Yay!